Lecture 9 in London. Have you ever thought about what goes on at your job? What goes on in your working place? Have you ever thought about the things that are happening in your working place all the time? And as they're going on in your working place, you're thinking to yourself, is that right? Is that legal? Is that good? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about the people in your working place and the attitudes that they have and the way that they think and act and do? Well, if you have, then you are limited. You are limited every time you judge anything that goes on in your world. You think, my goodness sakes, we're supposed to be responsible people. We should judge what's going on in our world and choose the finest and best. Well, it's not a matter of that. It's a matter of being the finest and the best. You have no capacity to understand, nor have I, the reality of what is right and wrong. We have no capacity to understand what is truth. We have no capacity to understand what is acceptable or unacceptable. We only have the capacity to understand to do what we think is good for us. And when we do what is good for us, then we're on the right track. That's why Jesus didn't let people hang him up on ideas. And he said, it is done unto you according to your belief. He said, if you have any problem, go to your neighbor or go to your brother first and clean the slate and then go about your business. But always keep everything in balance. Everything in balance. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So if you are in life, and you are doing unto others as you like them to do unto you, what's going to happen? You say, well, I do unto others as I want them to do unto me, but they always take advantage of me, and they always rob me and steal from me, and they always do the bad things against me. Well, is that interesting? Is that interesting? How could people rob you, steal you, do things that are bad for you, if that was not in your consciousness? Well, there's war in this world, and that's not my conscience. Oh, that is very much in your consciousness. Is there a conflict going on in your office? That's very much in your consciousness. Now, could you come to work, and could you be the peacemaker, and go around your office and say, well, you guys are the greatest. When I come here, I just feel so peaceful and so wonderful. It's a great day, isn't it? And shut up. Go about your work. Just let the seeds be planted. And then at coffee break or at another moment, you say, wow, what a lovely day. We are all so blessed to be alive and enjoying this day. It's a great day. And then another time, you say, hey, guys, you know what I heard about the company? You know what I heard about the company? These people were talking about our company. I was on the street corner, and they didn't know that I worked here. And they were talking. And one man was saying to the other man, do you know, if you want to deal with a company that has integrity, go and deal with that company. If you want to deal with a company that has employees that you can be sure are going to treat you right, go to deal in that company. I heard them say that, you know? Can you imagine anyone saying that about our company? And the other people in the group who are a little incredulous on this will say, are you sure that was our company they were talking about? You know? And you say, yes, it was. And plant little seeds. By the end of a very short period of time of seed planting, they will sprout and that office will be a harmonious, beautiful, wonderful place to work in. You say, well, it's a lie. No, it's not a lie. When you say I'm planting seeds in the soil because they're not grown into a plant, you don't say that's a lie. You say they're seeds and I'm planting them. They're there. The reality is there. They are there. Now, what is happening is these seeds are growing and nurturing in the soil and coming forth and becoming something beautiful. Now, I plant the seed of love, and up comes love. I plant the seed of trust, honor, fidelity. I plant the seed of all that is good in my office situation, and it comes out that way. Now, I may have an office where I'm in charge or where I'm just another member of the team, and either way, it's perfectly okay. You know that one recalcitrant dog can mess up all the dogs? One little dog who is making a big fuss over everything, all the other dogs get edgy and get unhappy about it. You take that one little dog out of there and train him or help him to understand he doesn't need to be unhappy, and all the other dogs will be mellow. It's leadership. Leadership. And we want to be leadership people in our area, in our business, in our school. Now, when you're at school with your children and one of the kids acts up, you don't get after him and be angry at him. You just take him aside and spank his hide. No. You just take him aside and you say, "Well, my lad, what seems to be troubling you? You know, you get up on the wrong side of bed or something, but what seems to be troubling you?" And he'll go, "Rah, rah, rah, rah." You know, he won't tell you at first. He'll be angry. And then you persist. And you say, "You know, you're one of the brighter boys of our class," and even if he isn't. I mean, a compliment doesn't hurt him at all. It'll sort of raise his ego. "You're one of the brighter boys in our class." He'll say, "Oh, I am? Yeah. I'm always so proud of you. I'm so proud of everything you do. But something's troubling you. Tell me what it is so we can get it over with and you can get happy again, because you're a happy guy. That's natural how you are." And so, little by little, the little kid, or big kid, it doesn't matter what his size is, he'll tell you what the problem is, and when he tells you what the problem is, then what happens? It's over. It's over. When the kid's chased by 10 million kids, you know, "There's a million kids chasing me!" You know, and you open the front door and there's a dog, or maybe there's one kid or two, you know, and you say, "Well, I guess they all went away." You don't say that he's lying and he's stupid or he's bad. "I guess they all went away. You chased them away. You told them you're not going to stand for nonsense from anything." "Oh, okay. You know, and he takes a whole different act. But you got to be an actor. You have to be on top of the scenario, of the show that you're writing. And because whether it's your children, your husband, your wife, your family in any matter, or your friends, don't forget your friends have troubles too. They call you in the middle of the night and say, "Oh!" And you say, "Hey, I'm so glad you called. You always make me feel so good when you call. But I got a problem. Hey, whatever your problem is, I will pray for you about it, and now it's all set. So, now what else you got? You want a cup of coffee? Come on over and I'll make you one," you know, and something like that. But the thing is, don't allow them to dwell upon the negative aspects of it. You are the one who plants the seed. You are the one who puts the ideas in motion so that there's harmony in your family, in your school, in your work, whatever it may be. There's harmony there because you created it. You created it. And you created it knowingly. You're not stupid, you know. You know what you're doing. You've been there, done that. You've been on the other end of the stick, you know, where you were feeling sorry for yourself, and you know how that feels. That feels pretty sad. You feel like, what's the use of living, you know? Everybody's against me, everything's against me. And then someone comes along and says, "Gee, you're wonderful. I'm so glad you called. You're glad I'm called. I'm unhappy. But I'm so glad you called. Whatever you called, I just feel so good because I know something wonderful is going to happen to us." Blah, 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 you know. And of course, that's why they call too. Because they know something wonderful is going to happen. You're going to stand up for something. They don't know what it is, and they don't even know what's bothering them. I had a phone call from a young man a few minutes ago, and his mother tried to have him call. He wouldn't. His father tried to have him call. He wouldn't. And so, Christy and I, we were talking to him, and we were talking about him, and Christy was saying, "It'd be so nice if you could talk to him. It'd be so nice if you could share with him, because he's a real great guy." And lo and behold, there, next thing you know, he's on the phone. He's on the phone, and bright and cheery and happy and delighted, you know. And wow, why? Because of your thought. You thought about him, and you thought he was wonderful, and you thought he was great, and you planted those seeds, and you weren't even planting them in his garden. You're planting them in my garden, because you know the power of my garden. And lo and behold, there it was. Now, what did he say? What did he say? I told you what he said. He said, "Yes, I will put into practice the things that you said. Yes, I will use my knee exercise. Yes, I will do these things." He says, "That's good." He says, "That's wonderful. I appreciate this so much, you know." And he says, and I said, "You can call me anytime you want. You know, you got my phone number. You can call." He says, "I will." And so, you know, great. And I didn't have to be any, you know, pumper-upper. He was ready to go himself. But We did the groundwork. We mentally did the groundwork beforehand, not thinking we were doing it particularly, just wishing him well, thinking happy thoughts for him, thinking vital, dynamic, and wonderful attitudes for him. We were planting seeds. And we know. Chrissy, where's your garden? And in Deutsch they would say, "Über alles." Where's your garden?
Within.
Huh?
Within.
And that's nice. Über alles. You know what über alles means? Over all. Over all the world. Over all the universe. Your garden is the universe. That's how we could talk to him. Your garden is a universe. We talked in our consciousness, and he was in our consciousness. And all the world is in our consciousness. It's wonderful. This is the way it goes. When we take charge of every situation we have, in our office, in our home, in our relationships, in our business, in whatever we do, any place, and instead of saying, "Oh my God, another one of those days," which is what we too often do, instead of saying that, we say, if I were experiencing their problem, and you're not, I would handle it differently. That's what I would do. And you see, you really are part of it. That's why you're in it. Because your mind has somehow allowed it to be in your consciousness and in your awareness. And so as long as you're in it, take charge. As long as you're in it, be the master. As long as you're in it, you say what goes on and what to be. You don't allow anyone else to run your ship, to run your boat, to run your business, your work, your life, or your family. You are in charge. And when you have pets and you let them run over the house and make a mess out of everything, you're not happy. And all it means is you take charge. You take charge first in your thought. And like a puppy dog, he'll come running to jump on your lap, and he'll look at you with big brown eyes and say, "Oh, come on," you know. And if you fall for it, you're dead. But what the puppy wants is for you to give him leadership. And so you just say, "Lay down, quiet, on the floor, on your lap if you want or anything, but later." But in the beginning, have him lay down on the floor and say, "Good puppy." And then he'll lay with his head on your foot, you know. "Good puppy, you know, that's fine." He's trying to get control, but you're not going to give it to him. And when you're not giving it to him, then everything goes beautifully. And he's he wants to have you take charge because he's a little puppy. He does not know the big puppy business, you know. And little children want you to take charge because they don't know the big people business. And they want you to say, "Wash your hands." They want you to say, "Comb your hair." And they want you to say, "Look nice," you know. And this is what yourself wants to say too. Your body. When you walk along, do you stand with your shoulders erect, you know? Your neck up a little bit, you know? Like a Marine, you know? Dun, 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 you know, ramrod.
Oh.
When you do that, what happens? You feel good. All right. You're going to go in and ask your boss for a raise, you know? So, "Boss, could I please have a raise?" With your head dropped down on your chest. I know you don't have a lot of money spent on raises and stuff, but can I please have a raise? And the boss will say, "I'll think about it. I'll see you later." Now, the boss isn't going to bother his thinking about a raise for you where you don't even believe you're worthy of it. But you put your chin up. You put your chest out, your shoulders back, and you say, "Boss, I finished that job you wanted done, and I was able to do it in half the time. Now, I want more work. I want to be able to do more things for you like that, because that's creative and that's dramatic, and I really love it, and I've got the time to give to it. If it needs a little night work, I don't mind. I've already told my wife all about it, or my husband all about it, and they understand that I really am a timer right now, and I want to do great things in this company, and I can. And the boss said, "Wow, I didn't know you had it in you. I knew you could do the work because you did it, but I didn't know that you were gung-ho for a company man. Let's take it just a little easy. This might just be a momentary thing. So we'll see. Now, here's another project. You go at it, show me what you can do, and let's see what we can think about afterwards, okay?" fine, you got a chance. He didn't say no, you know? And so you're going for it, and so you had your chest up, chin up, you're confident in yourself, and your boss gained a new confidence in you too. And the harder he wants you to work, the more you can do it. Because what you learn how to do as you become an executive, you learn how to delegate. You don't do everything yourself. You delegate. You don't need to be doing everything yourself. And if you think you have to do it all yourself, that you're indispensable, you will be dispensed with. Just the way it works with, you know. Because nobody wants an indispensable person around them. They're superior to everybody else and everything. And they're not team workers. They're not team people who build up an organization. And there can only be one CEO. There can only be one top dog, you know. And even him, that you pay him too much. But he's a good man, or a good woman. And the former head Hewlett-Packard. The former head of Hewlett-Packard. What did she say? She wanted to build that company. She had all sorts of dreams and ideas, and she was doing a great job. But a few people undermined her and tore away the foundation underneath her and said she was evil and bad. You know, she was doing a bad thing for Hewlett-Packard. Well, they fired her and left her with a great big multi-million-dollar pension salary. You know, big deal. So what happens? They fired her. And she was upset for a little bit. But seven companies bigger than Hewlett-Packard's salary hired her. They all, hey, we want you. Because she's a doer. She's a mover. She's the kind of person that makes people feel very confident in working with her. She's like Clinton, what's her name? Hillary Clinton, you know. Fantastic. Now, isn't that wonderful?
It is.
But you see, we are the seed planters. For me? We are the seed planters. We are the ones who put the idea in motion to accomplish anything we want to accomplish. And if we do not take charge of what result we want, then whatever happens, happens, you know. But if you say, this is peace, you know, this is good, hey, no problem. Come on, son, let's sit down and talk about it. Talk with you, the teacher, about it, you know, really? Talk with you, the nurse head, about this, you know? And, you know, you watch. I'm going to plant a couple seeds right now. Christy is in her office, and she gets a call. The head doctor says, hey, I want to talk to you. And Christy says, my associate's going to be out of the office in a minute, and we'll have privacy, so come right in. She didn't say, I will come to your office. She says, come here. He wants to talk to her. Yes. Okay, come into my office. I'll be happy to talk with you. Would you like coffee or tea? I'll be happy to serve either, you know. And he says, I'd like a scotch. He says, that's where I feel right now. And so he comes in and he talks to you. And you treat him like a responsible supervisor that you are, heading your department, doing these things. And he says, that's a load off my mind, you know. And to know that a person of your caliber is handling these responsibilities for me, I'm happy. Thank you, Sister Christy. You know, thank you very much, whatever he calls you. Or I think he probably calls you genius, doesn't he? Thank you, Miss Genius. You know, you are fantastic. And so then he goes his way. And the next thing you know, the word gets around the office that the big boss has come in to see Christy, that she is the queen of the realm, you know, and people come in to do that. Then other bosses come, and pretty soon your supervisor comes in to see you instead of calling you into her office, you know, or their office, whoever it may be at the moment. And they talk to you and they say, you have such a peaceful attitude about you, and you do things so competently. I do nothing but admire you forever and ever and ever. You're fantastic, you know. Now, is that true?
Yes,
it is. It is true. But remember it and let those seeds bear fruit. Now, I've not said this the first time. This is many times I've offered you these suggestions, but this is a little different way. But let it happen. Now, if you think that you are Oh, I'll come in your office, doctor. I'll come in your office to supervise. I'll come in. You know, no. Say, supervisor says, I want to see you in my. I want to see you in about 20 minutes. You say, I will see you in my office in 21 minutes. I have something going on for the next 20 minutes. But in 21 minutes, if you'd like to come around, I'd be happy to talk with you. And they will be so flabbergasted that they won't think to say, what do you mean your office? You come to my office. You know, I'm the cheese.
I'm the boss.
The more you act like a responsible person, the more people will respond to you. Christine, I recommend that you act in your hospital like you do on the highway. Confident, capable. You do things that angels would fear to do on the highway, and it's always working out good for you. You turn at the right time, you do this at the right time. Other people look at you and say, my God, how did she do that? You know? And they all give you the right of way because you claim it. See, like you're the alpha dog who claims the right of way. The other dogs try to do something and he nips them and says, no, 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 I am the cheese. You go and get me a bone, you know. And this is how I want. You may or may not do it. I kind of think you're going to do it. But, yeah?
Done.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? But it's true. It's true. You see, and you are in charge of creating your world. You're in charge of the attitude. You're in charge of the emotions, the feelings, the dynamics of your office. You're in charge of all of it by your mind. And you know that. And I told you, there is one big office in that hospital, and that's yours. And everyone comes and counsels with you on the operation of the hospital, on the operation of how the nurses should be handled, and you work how many hours a day?
8 hours.
How many hours is it?
Eight. Four.
Hush.
Four.
Yes. I mean, I held it up for her. How many hours a day do you work?
4 hours.
How many hours does she work?
4 hours.
Yeah. And the rest of the time she plays golf, you know. But no, you work 4 hours because you are so competent. You don't let people waste your time. You don't let people pour their heart out on you. You say to them, what do you want? I do not listen to garbage. I only listen to dreams and desires and goals. And I am in a position where I can help you to realize them if you wish. Oh, poor. You're in a position to recommend me. You're in a position to do this. I'm in a position to help you on your goals. Don't let them say anything, or don't believe anything they say. Don't let them think that you're going to go politically up and in front for them. But what you're going to do is you're mentally going to see them as a happy employee, as a happy, fulfilled employee receiving the salary that is deserved of their position, and that they want to educate themselves to be better. They want to go to nursing school. They want to go to night school. They want all those things. They want that. And that's what you have in your mind, that they want to improve themselves so that you have only the highest quality nursing staff, the highest quality doctors, the highest quality, what are these people who serve you? These people who bring you the pills and stuff. The representatives of some sort, or what are they called?
The reps.
Yeah, I was close. Yeah. Well, these reps for these various pharmaceutical companies, they come to you and try to pitch to the doctors and you and all their medical lore and stuff, and you're on top of it. Not because you read up on it, but because you intuitively know what product they have. You intuitively know that this is not going to be beneficial, and this will be beneficial. You intuitively know. If you look it up, you will not know any more than you could know intuitively. But intuitively, you can know a lot more. Because intuitively, you are not limited by what the book says. And in doctors and medical practices, the books on medicine change every 10 minutes. 1 minute sugar is good, 1 minute sugar is bad, 1 minute salt is good, 1 minute salt is bad, and on and on and on. How silly. How absolutely silly. But you are on top of it all because you are a master consciousness. You are listening to what?
Yes. Divine
within. Divine within. That's she, and she's smart. Isn't she wonderful?
Clever.
Yes, that's right. She's listening to the divine within, and you are really terrific. Now, I just about talked myself out on you, but isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful?
Wonderful.
You see, when we live in our world, we will always have people attempting to press our buttons. And when we have no buttons, then all they will do will be to signal us and say, please bless me with your confident love, your unconditional love, so that my life can be as fulfilled and radiant and beautiful as yours. And, you know, it's nothing more than that. It's no more than that. I do that all the time with my staffs. And they have problems too. When you got a bunch of monks living together 30 years, you know, they sometimes like each other, sometimes don't. But most of the time, they are very balanced. But whenever there's an imbalance, they come in and talk about it. And within a moment or two, we talk about it. I don't talk them down. But in a moment or two, we talk about it. And it all sort of falls into place. And I said, how do you feel? Oh, boy, I feel wonderful, young. But, Herb, can I stay here in your office? I said, not quite. You do that in your office. You do that in your area. But, you know, I maintain that. And they can maintain that, too. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. I know Ellen Jeremy, our CEO, she's visiting her children and grandchildren in Laguna, Switzerland. Not Laguna's beach. Laguna? Yeah, okay. And she's having a good time. But she's also right next to the children and the adults with their little problems. And she sometimes has her button pushed. Well, a lot of times. She must at all times be the dowager. She must at all times say, oh, you're so wise. You think these things through so beautifully. I'm just so proud of you. You know, you just make me proud of our genes and chromosomes and all the good things that we are. You're wonderful. You're fantastic. And they love her to pieces because she never gives advice. Yeah, ooh, is right. She never gives advice. All she gives is to praise them for the beauty that they are. And they love her to pieces. We have one of their sons on campus right now. I've been there now 3 months. And at the end of April, he'll be there. And he's just as happy as he, and he wants to come back as soon as possible. 20 years old, living there alone right now with two girls and dogs. And he is so happy. Of course, he's got his private swimming pool. He's got his private meditation path. He's got his private tractor. He's got his private Jeep. He's got his private everything. Just have a ball. Wow. His sister and brother had been there a month before, and they were with us for over a month or so. And they love it. But Ellen does not do anything except say, hey, you're here to learn English. Now speak English. Yes. Speak English. Speak English. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, see, doesn't he do beautiful?
Hello, now, Biscato.
You're welcome. And all of them just think he's just wonderful. He's wonderful. All of them think it's wonderful that she is so diligent to stay with teaching them English when they only speak Italian.
Spanish?
And, yeah. Come sta? And they just have such a good time and learn so well. But she is loving, and working with them in such a heartfelt way, but not judgmental, you know. But she does say to him, all right, every day when you come to the breakfast table, you have 3 sentences in English. Hello. Goodbye. Welcome.
Yeah.
No sentences, but verbs and other parts of the sentence. But they play the game, and they naturally try to do the best. But they are just a delight to have around, because they're so sincere. And I stayed in Lugano with Ellen, and the two boys, the older boys, gave us their bedrooms, you know. And, I mean, here we were there for, I was only a couple of days, but Ellen, you know, for about a week. And they gave it up. And I think how beautiful.
Yeah.
And not a point. Just, hey, that's okay. You're my grandma. And you're my friend. That's what they call me. And I say, I'm honored. You know, I'm honored. But life is so wonderful when you take charge of your area as a master. And when you take charge of your area as a master, you're saying the right thing at the right time to the right people in the right way for the right purpose. And when you do that, it is cool. It is so cool. So, think on these things. They are the very essence of what makes the world go round. But this is the one who is training herself in the essence of the glue of the universe. And it makes her so happy. It's called mathematics. She loves mathematics. But Ellen's granddaughter also loves mathematics. And she is a master ski, master tennis pro. She's mastered everything. She's super. And likes to teach little children. And she is wonderful with her own little sister in teaching her. But she loves mathematics. And I said, sure, mathematics has never really been something I would be tankering for because I worked at it, you know. She says, well, I always get top mark in Switzerland in her class. And they're not easy. They're not easy. But she gets top mark. But not only math, in every subject. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is one of the real geniuses. Mm-hmm. And her older brother is the same way, but he is pretending he doesn't know. Because he has a girlfriend sit there next to him and give him the answers and, you know, snuggling over. I say, no, come on now. But this is it. This is it. When we direct our work, direct our activities, we are in charge. And the response that we get back is love. And the response that those who are fortunate enough to have us talk to them in a loving way, their lives are in balance. And everything works out in perfect divine order. It's exciting. It's so exciting. So exciting. But that's what makes the world go round. Yes, you're welcome. Have a lovely, I love you.